Guys, I love that. Death could not hold him. The veil tore before him. He silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of his glory. He is raised to life again. He has no rival. He has no equal. And so now and forever are reigning. His is the kingdom and his is the glory. In his name, it's Jesus. And that's who we are here to worship and celebrate this morning. His is the name that is above all names. I love that. That's the truth of what we are celebrating this morning, that Jesus has risen from the dead. That's what the Christian faith is all founded upon. And very briefly this morning, I just want to come around that this morning as we prepare ourselves for a time of taking communion. The resurrection, that's a big deal. The Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says this in verse 3. He says, "This, for I delivered to you, is of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." He's saying everything, but this is all in accordance with the scriptures, that Jesus died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to 100 others at one time. And guys, most of those who were there and they saw him, they're still alive to this day. This here that we celebrate, it's not some bad April Fool's joke. It's a true story, and it's a foundational for the Christian faith. And so that's why we sing, and that's why we celebrate this morning, and we sing loud and we sing long, because he is alive, and he has done everything that he said he would do, and all that he claimed to be is true. And over the past year as a church family, we've been journeying through, taking breaks here and there through the Gospel of John, where he's telling the story about Jesus and who he is, and he's writing it all with this one purpose, a main purpose that he tells us, that I am writing this so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, that you would have life. And so here this morning, we are at this, that as we're studying through it, we're at John chapter 20, and that is right here, telling the story of whenever Jesus rose from the dead. And so let's, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to turn to John chapter 20. And we're going to read through the first 10 verses, and very briefly then we're just going to come around and talk around this, and I pray that God uses this to encourage us this morning. So John chapter 20, and let's all stand for the reading of God's word. John writes this, he says, "Now on the first day of the week Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him.' And so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb, and both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he went in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes." Our Father in heaven, this morning as we've gathered together to celebrate you and to worship you, God, what a blessing it has been and a privilege to be gathered together in this place. And Lord, as we turn to your word now, just for a brief moment, God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be open to hear from you. And Lord, that we might be encouraged to believe, maybe for the first time. Maybe it's to encourage to keep on believing and trusting you to be who you say you are, the Savior of the world. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in just a few brief moments, I want to ask you to consider doing what it is that this other disciple, as he's referred to here, the one that Jesus loved, and we believe that's John, consider doing what he did, as he stooped to look into the tomb. Imagine what the disciples are going through at this time. The one whom they're following for the past 3 years, they have just seen him die a torturous, a horrifying death. They'd seen him do all kinds of signs and wonders. They'd heard him speak and teach like no one else that they had ever seen or heard before. This one who claimed to be the promised Messiah to save them and to rescue them had been crucified, torturous and horrifying death like many other criminals. And he had told them that he was going to die. John, just a few chapters prior to this, John chapter 16, verse 16, he said this to them, "A little while and you will see me no longer. And again in a little while you will see me." What was Jesus saying whenever he said that? Trying to make sense of that. And he had said, and then a few verses later in verse chapter 16, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." And I believe that's exactly what they were experiencing in this moment. He says, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." And I believe that John and the other disciples, they were in that time of fear. They were in that time of weeping, of lamenting, of hurting, of wondering what was next as Jesus lay there in the tomb. But now look at what happens. John tells us that it's the first day of the week. It's not the third day after the resurrection. It's the thing new and amazing is about to happen. It's early in the morning. It's still dark. And Mary, she's going to the tomb. Probably has the other ladies with her. We're not sure. And she sees that the stone's been rolled away. And we're told that she runs to tell the other disciples. And she heads back and she finds Peter and John, we believe, and tells them that somebody's taken Jesus' body. She didn't know who had taken it. Maybe it was the religious leaders. Maybe there were some thieves. And maybe who knew where it was? We don't know. Or she didn't know. All that she knew was that Jesus was gone. And so she takes off and she runs back and she finds Peter and John. And Peter and John, they head out to the tomb. And I love how John tells this story. He has to just make it known that he is a faster runner than Peter for some reason. He says, "I beat him there." And here's what I want us to see in this process as we look at John and what he does. He stoops to look in. He sees that the linen cloths that Jesus had been wrapped in, they're lying there, but he doesn't go in. And so there he is. He's just stooping, looking into the tomb. But then we're told that Peter, he gets there finally, and he goes right in, and he sees the linen cloths lying there, and he sees the cloth that was used to wrap Jesus' head. And so John, he decides not to just look in, but he decides to step in and to go in and to see what he had seen, or the linen cloths lying there. Then he sees even more as he's gone deeper in, and he sees this face cloth that had wrapped Jesus' head lying there nicely folded. And he sees that lying there, and it's as if Jesus had somehow just lifted out of the cloths that were in there that he had been wrapped in. And when he sees that nicely folded cloth that had wrapped Jesus' head, what does it say that he does? He sees it, and he believes. What is it that took him over the edge to believe that Jesus was alive? It's not that Jesus wasn't there, but it's the fact that the grave clothes were there. For many others, it was that they saw him alive, that was then that they believed. But we're told here that with John, it wasn't that, but it was the fact that Jesus wasn't there, but that his clothes were there. And when he saw that, he knew. You know, oh, I remember that Jesus said this, and said this, and oh, this is all making sense. I know that he is alive and he believes. There are all kinds of theories out there, and there are all kinds of theories out there that have been put forward as ways to explain away the resurrection. But the deal is that when any of them are looked at closely, that they really don't express and explain and prove that the resurrection did not happen. In fact, the one thing that could have been done to prove that it did not happen could never be done, as the religious leaders, all that they needed to do to stop this movement of Jesus' followers from continuing on was to produce Jesus' body. But it could never be done, because Jesus had risen from the dead. The last verse here in verse 9 and 10 tell us that Jesus was once again doing what he had to do to fulfill Scripture. This wasn't an option. The disciples were told they didn't understand it yet, but John tells us that once again, this was all a part of God's plan, and nothing was going to thwart God's plan. It had to be done to fulfill the Scriptures. And so, church, this morning we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus as our risen King, our Savior who conquered the grave, sin, and death. He is alive, and he is reigning over all of creation. He is alive, and he's living and working in each and every one of our lives. He's working all around our world. Jesus did and is doing just as he promised. Jesus has risen from the dead just as he said he would. We can be confident that he will accomplish all that he promised. He's given us everything that we need to know, and he has told us what is yet to come. And because Jesus lives, we can know that living in Christ, that the living Christ is not a false prophet, that he's not an imposter, that he's not a fake, but he is the real deal. We can be certain of our resurrection because he was resurrected. We can be certain that he is trustworthy because he has never once failed to keep his word. We can follow him wherever and whenever he leads because he never will lead us wrong. And we can trust him with the smallest things, and we can trust him with the big things in our lives. In the midst of the darkest of days in our lives, in the hardest of trials, we can know that better days are yet to come. I heard it said earlier this week, thought it was catchy, it just stuck out, that this is what he does. That's because of him that as we go through the tests in our lives, that they can become, he can use them so that we can have a testimony. He can take the mess of our lives and he can make it a message of his goodness and grace. He can take the hurt in our lives and he can turn it to happiness. It's all because he lives that we have hope and that we have a new life. Paul says it this way as he continues on there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he encourages the church in Corinth, and he says this: this is why it's important, because if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that dead are not raised. For if the dead are raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. The resurrection means everything. The cross matters because of the resurrection. And many died on the cross through the years. But there's only one. There is one who willingly gave his life and laid his life down for us. He's the only one who died innocent and gave his life for the guilty as one who was guilty. He's the only one who is the Son of God. He's the only one who took upon himself our sins that we deserve to pay, and he paid the penalty once and for all for us. He's the only one who's seated next to the Father in his interceding on our behalf. And he's the only one who has the name above all names, before whom every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And he's the only one before whom every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is only Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus shows us the power of God and shows us that nothing is impossible with him. And that there is nothing and that there is no one who can get in his way. He will accomplish his purposes, and there is never a time when you can't trust him. It means that Jesus is alive, and no matter what, he is with us, and that we have nothing to fear. It means that through him, the old life can become new, and there is no one, and there is no situation to come that is too far gone before him. And so this morning, friends, if you're here and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then maybe this morning, would you come and see John here as he's there stooping and he's looking in and he's seeing the grave clothes lying there. He's like, I'm not sure. And then what does he do? But he steps in closer and he steps into the tomb and he sees what's there. And then he sees a little bit more and he realizes and he sees and he believes. We're not told about what Peter was thinking at this moment. We're not told that he believed totally right then and there. But John does. And maybe you're John this morning and you are just at that point where you sense the Holy Spirit just calling you to step in closer and to look deeper into the tomb and to believe and to trust him to be who he said that he is. I want to invite you to come and see for yourself. Come in a little closer. And I believe that as you step closer and you truly open yourself up to understanding and seeing, that God will do something amazing and you will find life in Jesus alone. John here is saying, I'm just telling you what I saw. I'm telling you what I experienced. And what better, what more could we want than to hear the testimony of someone who was right there? And John, all the way through, he's just saying, I'm just telling you what I've seen, what I saw, and I want you to know this because he'll change your life. We believe that Jesus lives not because just because the Bible says it's so, but because 2,000 years later, here we are, and we're still telling the story, and people's lives are getting changed. This was just sung before us in these songs that were told, that were sung before us, that we're here, that he's changed our lives, that we are redeemed, that he's brought healing. This movement, it wouldn't have made it another week if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. And so I want to ask you, are you ready? Jesus says that here I am, and I'm coming back for all those who have turned to me in repentance and placed their faith in me as their Lord and Savior. He's coming back. He said he was going to die. He said he was going to rise from the dead. He said he was going to back to the Father. And he says that he's coming back again. And every single one of those has been true. And so we have every reason to believe that he's coming back. And the question for every single one of us this morning is, will we be ready? Are we ready for when he returns? It's because Jesus lives that we can know that his death on the cross accomplished what he said it would. And so this morning, after all that's been said and all that's been sung about how we have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus, what better way for us as a body of believers to declare our confidence in our risen Savior than to participate in Holy Communion and proclaim his death until he comes again? And so I want to invite you this morning, if you're with us and you're following after Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to participate. We're going to be passing the elements there in the pews, and you take, and then we'll partake together. And if you're here this morning and you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that Jesus has paid the price for all of your sins. There's not a single one of us who is too far gone. But actually, before the cross and before our God, we are all on level playing ground, and that's what the cross does, and it is the only hope that we have through Jesus Christ. And he wants us to know, and he wants you to know forgiveness. He wants you to know redemption and healing. He wants you to know joy. He wants you to know peace. He wants you to know eternal life and the relationship with the lover of your soul. And you can experience that and know that if you will surrender your life to him as your Savior. And you can know without a doubt that better days are ahead for you as you leave it all behind. Let's bow our heads. I just want to give the opportunity that if you're here and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus and placed your trust in him, that what he accomplished on the cross was everything. That's all that was needed to give forgiveness, to bring redemption, to restore, to bring healing, and to wash our hearts clean. And this morning, you're ready to say, yes, I am trusting in you and you alone, Jesus. And I'm turning from living for myself to living for you. Then I just invite you to pray this prayer. This is a prayer as a way of saying, here I am, a prayer of surrender. God, I'm surrendering my life to you. Just in your hearts, just pray. Pray this prayer of surrender, saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and you are a Savior. I am a great sinner, you are a great Savior, and now in this moment, as an act of my will, I'm committing all that I am to you. I'm turning from my sins. I repent of my sins, and I am coming to you, placing my faith, placing my trust, placing my hope, all of it in you as my Lord and Savior and as my King. God, would you take my life and let it be used all for your glory. Lord, as we gather together this morning, what a joy it has been, and we have every reason to sing and every reason to surrender our lives to you and every reason to go into the rest of our lives humbly serving and living for your glory and your glory alone. And as we come now to take communion, what better way than to, as a people united in faith, to remember your death and resurrection and proclaim all that you have accomplished for us at the cross until you come again. In your name we pray. Amen.